Brethren, as we begin the lesson tonight, I want to give you a word association test. But instead of just the first word that pops into your mind, I want to give you a word, and I want you to think of the opposite. Not just the first word, but the opposite. In other words, if I said black, you would probably think white. If I said cold, you would probably think hot. What we're interested in is opposites. So let's begin our word association test. Here's the first word, good. Well, you're probably thinking bad, because the opposite of good is bad. Here's our second word, happy. Well, you're probably thinking sad, because the opposite of happy is sad. And now this is where the plot thickens. What if I said, what is the opposite of prayer? What word best describes the opposite of prayer? Well, I thought and thought and thought, and though I came up with several possibilities, really the word I think best describes the opposite of prayer is worry. And that's why I think the title that I've been assigned for this lesson is very appropriate. The question of the lesson is, why worry when we can pray? You know, that's a very legitimate question. It's a very interesting question. It's also a very intriguing question. And brethren, as I hope to show tonight, it's a very biblical question. Why worry when we can pray? In Matthew chapter 6, and we'll be reading this at the end of our lesson if you'd like to go ahead and turn to it. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives what I believe is the most concise definition of an analysis of human nature that is found anywhere in the Bible. Jesus puts into words everything that we need to know about human nature. He begins by saying, no man can serve two masters. Now we know, we're familiar with the text, we know that he says those two masters are God and mammon. But for the sake of this sermon, and especially with the assignment that I have, let's say those two masters are prayer and worry. And I believe that's justified. I believe we can do that because prayer is doing things God's way and worry is doing things man's way. Prayer is accepting God's answer and worry is trying to find an answer of our own. So for the sake of this lesson at least, let's say that the two masters are prayer and worry. Jesus says you can't serve both of them. We are either going to be a person of prayer or we're going to be a person of worry. We can't serve both of them. Jesus says we're either going to love one and hate the other or we're going to cling to one and despise the other. We simply cannot serve them both. We can't serve God and mammon. We can't be a people of prayer and a people of worry. We can't do it God's way and man's way at the same time. A choice has to be made. And brethren, even from the beginning of man's time, man has been a free moral agent. We have the ability to make choices. In fact, we have to make choices. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had to make a choice. They made the wrong choice. But God still allowed them that opportunity. We today are removed from the Garden of Eden by thousands of years. We're still having to make choices. We're still free moral agents. And in this case, we have to choose to be a person of prayer or a person of worry. But we can't serve both of them. We can't serve God and mammon. We'll read in a moment from Genesis 6. Let me begin with verse 25. Jesus says, worry about your life. Worry about what you're going to eat for supper. Worry about what you're going to drink when you get thirsty. Worry about what kind of clothes you're going to wear tomorrow morning when you come back to services. He said, look at the fowls of the air. Look how they worry about things. Why, they don't sow grain. They don't reap the harvest. They don't gather into barns. They worry about things like that. He said, consider the lilies of the field. Look how they worry about things. And brethren, I only misquoted that passage of Scripture because I know every one of us knows exactly what Jesus does say. In a nutshell, he says, don't worry. And then he begins in verse 33 saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That'll eliminate worry. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first His righteousness, and all these things that people worry about are going to be added unto you. He says, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Brethren, our world is running headlong on a collision course with worry. Now, I fall into that trap. I fall into that pit. Sometimes it's almost like I'm ready to throw up my hands and say, I've got to worry about this the rest of my life. And the question I want to ask, and the question of this lesson, is why do Christians worry when the Bible says we need to pray? That's what Jesus is going to say in Matthew 6. Don't worry. Our world is worrying about things. Our world worries about inflation. Our world worries about crime. Our world worries about politics. And brethren, don't get me wrong. These things we should pray about. But it didn't say worry. Jesus said, don't worry. You know, if we are more precious to God than the fowls of the air, which Jesus says we are, if we are more precious to God than the lilies of the field, which Jesus says we are, and if in essence He says they don't worry about things, then brethren, why should we worry about things? You know, prayer and worry are not compatible. Now, I don't know how long I've worked on this lesson. I don't know how long I prepared to make this presentation tonight. I've read it, I've reread it, I've studied it, I've restudied it, I wrote it, I rewrote it, and I'm still having a problem accepting what I'm saying in this lesson tonight. And so I'm trying to find the answer that I'm hoping you try to find as well. Brethren, as Christians, why do we worry when the Bible says we need to pray? Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Brethren, life is going to take care of itself. We shouldn't worry about that. The American Standard says, be not anxious about your life. And brethren, if as Jesus says, we seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, then all these things will take care of themselves. All of these things that we worry about will simply fall into place. We need to seek first God's kingdom. We need to seek first God's righteousness and not worry about anything else. So as Christians, why should we worry when we pray? You know, if we substitute worry for prayer, then we're depriving God's purpose for our lives. You know, God has a purpose for us. It's outlined in the Bible. God wants us to hear the truth and believe it. He wants us to repent and confess, be baptized, to rise and walk in newness of life. God wants us to live faithfully even unto death so that Christ can give us that crown of life which God prepared for us from the foundation of the world. God has a plan for our lives. God has purpose for our lives. And if we worry, then we're depriving God of carrying out those plans. If we substitute worry for anything that's according to God's plan, then we are destroying God's purpose in our lives. Listen to what Jesus says. I want to read from John chapter 14, but in order to understand John 14, we need to back up into John 13. In John chapter 13, we find Jesus preparing His disciples for His soon departure. He realized that His time was near, and He wanted them to be ready when He was no longer with them. He teaches them lessons on humility, love, faith, and so forth. And then as we begin chapter 14, we find that especially Peter, but I'm sure all of the disciples, are very troubled by what Jesus has been saying. And so in order to comfort Peter, in order to comfort the disciples, and brethren, 2,000 years later, in order to comfort His bride, the church, Jesus says this, don't let your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, listen to this, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. He thought he was going to Capernaum or Bethany or someplace like that. Lord, we don't know which village or hamlet you're going to. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way to heaven. I am the truth about finding heaven. And I am the life, life eternal. Brethren, why should we worry when we can pray? John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6 is the absolute greatest prescription to eliminate worry that any of us as Christians have. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, John 14. He says, take no thought for your life, Matthew 16. Now, let's think logically for just a moment. I realize that's hard for Jerry to do, but the rest of us, let's think logically for just a moment. Logically speaking, what Jesus is saying is that worry deprives us of self-worth. You know, brethren, I'm not saying this with any arrogance at all, but do you know that I'm an heir to the throne of God? I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, try to explain to me how I am not worth something to God. I am. Jesus teaches, we've already mentioned the fowls of the air and the lilies of the field. Jesus teaches in Matthew 16 that we are much greater than them. In fact, He teaches that we are greater in worth to God than all the wealth of the world is. We're far more valuable than simple logic dictates that we not give in to worry. Why should we worry? Why, if God, now listen to this, if God was willing to sacrifice His only begotten Son so that we might live eternally with Him in heaven, why should we worry? If God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Next verse, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not why Jesus came. But that all who come to Him might be saved. Then why should we worry? Why should we worry, brethren, when we can pray? Why should we rob ourselves of our worth? Why should we rob ourselves of our dignity? Why should we deny that we are God's highest creation? Why should we worry when we could pray? You know, may we never forget that we are created like none other. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we find God speaking, saying, let us make man, and we could say man alone, in our image. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And God breathed into human nostrils the breath of life. And that human became an eternal or a living soul. No bird, no fowl, no creeping thing, nor anything else can make that claim. Brethren, only humans, only men and women have had into their nostrils breathed the breath of life. Only men and women have a soul that will last forever. God has placed great value on us. A higher value than He has placed on any other creature. Therefore, brethren, we need to calm ourselves. We need to calm ourselves and realize the great value that God has placed upon our soul. And we need to accept ourselves. Now, when I say that, we need to calm ourselves. We need to recognize our value. We need to accept ourselves. I need to clarify by saying we need to accept ourselves only when we are living and abiding under the banner of God's truth and love. But what if we sin? 1 John 1:9. What if we sin? What if we fall? Romans 3:23. What if we fall? What if we fall away? Romans 6:23. The Bible teaches that if we come to ourselves, as did the prodigal, Luke 15:17, if we come to ourselves and return to God, we need to accept that He forgives us. And let's add this addendum. When God forgives us, we need to forgive ourselves. You know, brethren, that's another fallacy or another weakness. Let me say it that way. That's another weakness that we find in the human character. It's easier for us to accept that God forgives us than it is for us to forgive ourselves. Yet if we really believe what Jesus taught, Luke chapter 11, verse 4, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. If we believe what Jesus taught, then we will be ready to forgive ourselves even of our own sins. And then Jesus gives us this wonderful example. This is classic. Jesus said, which of you by taking thought, worrying, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to its stature? In other words, how many of us can worry ourselves taller? Well, none of us can. In fact, how many of us can worry ourselves anything except into a headache or into a lost night's sleep? None of us can worry ourselves taller. None of us can just will our problems away by worry. Brethren, it just doesn't work that way. Nothing good has ever come from worry. Let me repeat that. Nothing good has ever come from worry. You know, there are some things that are very difficult for us to accept. We need to accept them anyway. All things work together for good, for them that love God, for those that are called according to His purpose. There are some very bitter pills that we have to swallow from time to time, but we need to accept them. Now, I wish I could quote verbatim the statement made by Francis of Assisi, but I can't, but I want to give him credit for it. There are some things that can be changed. And brethren, we need to change those things. But there are some things that cannot be changed. We need to just accept them as such. And as he says, we need to have the wisdom. We need to show the wisdom. God gives wisdom freely to all men. We need to have the wisdom to know what can be changed and needs to be changed and what cannot be changed. And worry is certainly not going to change anything. Now, the next point I want to make in my introduction is that Jesus wants us as Christians to take long, hard, serious, detailed, and critical looks at our own selves. You know, the Apostle Paul was writing to his beloved brethren in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, and he said, prove your own self. He said, examine our faith. Brethren, as Christians, we need to prove our faith in God. For by grace are ye saved through faith. We need to prove our faith in God. Now, how do we do that? Well, I believe we can go back to our original premise and say that we prove our faith to God by seeking first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Brethren, the easiest way to control worry is to make sure that God has His rightful place in our lives. The easiest way, in fact, the only way to control worry is to make sure that God has His rightful place in our lives. You know, sometimes, and I've never heard it phrased this way, so excuse me if I offend, but it sometimes seems like we as human beings think that God created us as some kind of vacuum cleaner. You know, God put us down here on the earth to suck up all the dirt and filth that the world has. But we were created by Jehovah, not Black and Decker. We were not sent here. We were not born on this earth in a physical form in order to enjoy the filth of the world. We were born in physical form to prepare ourselves for a heavenly abode. And brethren, we don't have time to worry if we are actively pursuing that preparation process for heaven. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is found in Genesis chapter 32. It's the time that Jacob wrestled with the angel. You know, God wanted to bless Jacob. Jacob wanted to wrestle. God wanted to help Jacob. Jacob wanted to wrestle. God wanted to bless Jacob. He had big plans for Jacob. Jacob wanted to wrestle. Brethren, are you getting the point? Why do we wrestle with God when God's Word says that God wants to bless us? Why do we wrestle with God when His teaching is that He wants to help us? You see, God has plans for us. He has big plans for us. Now, in Genesis 32, everything was put on hold because Jacob wanted to wrestle. And I wonder how many of the plans of God are also put on hold because we want to wrestle. Let's don't wrestle with God. Let God bless us. Let God's Word help us and comfort us. Let God's will for us be carried out. You know, Paul says we need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Brethren, this is not a simple existence that we live, but it's the only existence that will help us find the pearly gates of heaven. Let's don't worry. Let's pray. Let's make sure that we're not bowing down to the wrong master. Brethren, Christians are simply not designed for worry. Worry gives us headaches. You know, if I ask for a show of hands, how many of us enjoy a headache? No hands would be raised. Worry gives us headaches. Worry deprives us of peace of mind and peace of health. It's hard on us, brethren. It's kind of like an emotional infection. And our whole spiritual body tries to throw it off. God didn't design us to be people of worry. God designed us to be people of love and people of trust and people of hospitality and people of compassion. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we could find an antidote to worry? Wouldn't it be nice if we could go to the doctor and say, Doc, this worry is bothering me. Can you give me a prescription? Can you give me a pill that will help me get rid of this worry? Brethren, here's the pill. Here's the antidote right here. Here's God's prescription to eliminate worry. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open to our prayers. All things whatsoever you ask in my name, believing, you shall receive. And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Paul says men ought always to pray. Call on the cast all thy cares upon the Lord, Peter says, for He careth for thee. Jesus said, pray this way, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus was, again, about to go home. We find Him uttering a beautiful prayer. But He preceded that prayer with tremendous petitions to God. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But He left us an example when He concluded those petitions by saying, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And I think Paul summed it up so beautifully, yet so succinctly, when he said, pray without ceasing. Let prayer simply be a common partner with us. Brethren, prayer allows God to be Himself with us. Prayer will cover all of man's life. There is no thought, there is no feeling, there is no hurt so small or trivial that God doesn't want us to lay it at His feet in prayer. He is willing, He is able, He desires to help us in time of need. He can, He will, He wants to. Quotation attributed to Abraham Lincoln, and I respect Lincoln so much, I hope he made this statement. He said something like this, I have been driven to my knees many times by the overwhelming realization that I have nowhere else to go. Brethren, we have nowhere to go except to God. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul enumerates on the armor of God. He says, armed with the whole armor of God, we need to pray always with all prayer and supplication. Let me make this brief. Once upon a time, a man was the possessor of a valuable jewel, and he carried it with him always. Well, he was walking through some rocky cliffs one time, and he stumbled and fell and dropped the jewel. It fell into a large crevice there on the ground. Well, realizing how precious that jewel was to him, he wasn't about to let it go. So he went into town, he bought enough rope that he knew he could climb down into that crevice and regain his jewel. So he tied the rope securely off and he slowly climbed down the rope. But he ran out of rope before he reached the bottom of that crevice. And not knowing what to do, he just sat there and held on for a while. And he began to feel tremendous weakness in his arms. He thought, I better climb back up to the top. Because if I fall, I'm sure it's hundreds, maybe even thousands of feet down to the bottom, and I'm going to be crushed on all these jagged rocks down at the bottom of this crevice. But he had held on so long, he didn't have enough strength to climb back up. So he thought, well, I'll just hang on and try to rest. But his arms kept getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And finally, he didn't have enough strength to climb back to the top to safety. He realized he was finally just going to have to let go. And he let go and he fell violently about 3 inches where he landed on some soft sand. Brethren, how often have we worried about a 3-inch drop? You know, times have changed, but the teaching of God is always the same. The Apostle Peter says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, I'm reading from a modern translation, saying, "Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers ask God for what you need. Always ask Him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus." Brethren, I really don't have anything to say that hasn't already been said. God doesn't want us to be people of worry. God wants us to be people of prayer. We need to humbly bow ourselves. We need to prostrate ourselves in prayer. Jesus knows what our world is up to. Our world is splashing around and swimming around that cesspool called sin. Christ wants to lift us out of there. He wants to wash us off. He wants to put us on a mantelpiece somewhere. He wants to think of us as a precious jewel. You see, He died for us. We need to calm ourselves. Calm ourselves and realize that we are worth something to God. We need to seek God's kingdom. We need to seek God's righteousness. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. We need to cast our care upon Him, for He cares for us. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll cling to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Brethren, we cannot be Christians and worry at the same time. May God bless us all.